Blog Talk Radio.
Service to you day and night, Lord. More than this, you do not should be joyful and be glad for our lives, Lord. Even when we face dark hours, O Lord our God, we are filled with hope that brings us joy for the future as well as the present, Lord. With assurance that your salvation is coming, we rejoice in what you give us already today. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Alrighty. Well, let's play some music.
Give me the discipline that's needed to seek your faith. sacrifice, saved. So he's doing it cause of his love, doing it cause of his blood, doing it, covering up, doing it.
Trash bag, I don't care where they go. Don't waste your money on my gravestone. I'm more concerned about my soul. Everybody's gonna die. Don't everybody live though. Sometimes I look up to the skies and wonder, do you see us down here? Oh Lord. bed back in this kickback with like six stacks in this chick left. She like gets that. I'm like, yeah, partner, we on. In back of my brain, I know that my confidence wasn't the same. Though I was in that range with ice in my chain. What happens one day when all of this on? Chicks is on me, but they don't know me. Got a ride or die, but she at home alone. So I cop a Louis like to make up for my wrong. The devil telling me I deserve it, but to gain it all and lose me ain't worth it. Cause to think about it, I ain't been in church in so long. Money, alcohol, and swishers. Jewelry, cold, I'm living. Still feel like it's something missing. Like, am I here for something different? Can't lie no more, no more. Can't lie no more, no more. Can't lie no more, no more. Can't live and die no more, no more. Can't lie no more, no more. Can't lie no more, no more. Can't lie no more, no more. Can't live and die no more. No big problems, little liquor for the little problems. Trying to cope with that being a problem, but when the high wears off, it's still a problem. When you and I help me to chillin', surrounded by women and all over with it, but when everybody gone and you sitting there alone, homie, need to get real there. If money gave hope to folk then, millionaires wouldn't be overdosing. And superstars that you knew would not commit suicide if they were roller coasting. Live fast, die young, young, that's what they say. But I'm like, who really wanna go that way? I'ma turn that page. Money, alcohol, and swishers.
Thank you.
grasp me if I had you in my heart, but I guess I relax like I'm living for the wrong reasons through the seasons. Trying to fall for you, but then they put me on blast. It's like I try to speak my mind because I know that I'm his. Yep, I try to speak my mind, but it don't fly with them kids. Man, if I'm not talking about the newest Nikes or releases, they put the mute on me. I can't speak about my Jesus like I'm living for him. I'm slipping the sin. I turn around and face the admit. I try to fit in. I mess it up and stumble again. I'm taking this pen and writing everything so I remember just how sweet that it is.
Don't leave me alone. Keep coming day and night. Don't leave me alone.
series of calling love God, love others. Okay? And the scripture is taken from Mark chapter 12, verses 28-31. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Notice that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And in Mark 12, verses 28-31, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So today we will be concluding our sermon series, Love God, Love Others. I'm sad about this since I have so enjoyed learning together with you what Jesus considers the greatest commandments in the Bible. To love God with all your heart, which relates to worship, to bow down, surrender to Him as the Lord, to love God with all your soul, spend time with Him in fellowship, to grow in your relationship with Him, to love God with all your mind, to become a disciple of Jesus by spending time in His Word and in prayer, and to love Him with all your strength, to use the gifts and talents He has given you to serve Him. We are called to love God with all we are, but Jesus didn't stop there. He also said equal to is love our neighbor as we love ourselves. This evening we're going to look at what Jesus means by that statement and how it relates to our everyday life. Before we go any further, let's pray and then listen and learn together as God speaks into each of us. So let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that we may come to you and that our spirits can reach out for help and your comfort, Lord. May we draw strength from communion with you, our Father, our Lord. May we realize more fully that we are your children, Lord, truly your children who are throughout our pilgrimage can know you as our refuge and our help, Lord. Remember our worlds and grant that may any hearts awaken and turn to you, Lord. Look into you in all fear and need of which sweep over many people in our time, Lord. Let your spirit be revealed to our hearts and quiet, bringing many experiences from you, O Lord, our God, and from your kingdom. Protect us every day in many lands throughout the earth, Lord, for the nations are yours, Lord. They shall receive life and blessing from you, Lord. And at last your kingdom will be revealed in all the world to honor the glory of your name. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is a reminder. The first part of this verse is Jesus quoting what we have learned is called the Shema, which means to hear. It's the most important passage of Scripture to the Jews to be repeated twice daily as a reminder that God was the only true God and to love Him with all that we are. The second part of this passage comes from Leviticus 19, and every Jew knew this verse as well. In fact, it alluded to a number of times in the New Testament. The Bible is clear that sins we commit against others show our lack of love. Romans chapter 13, verse 9, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. It is important to understand that. To love others as you love yourself is directly related to what we are learned growing up as the golden rule. To do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Most people have heard of the golden rule and even quoted it, even if they didn't know it came from the Bible. All the law and the prophets, the entire Bible, are summed up in these important words, love your neighbor as yourself. It is also clear that all the law and commandments are proven by our love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. Our love for others is the foundation of the Christian faith, but it also is proof of our personal Christian faith. The Jewish Rabbi Hillel, a contemporary of Jesus and probably the main teacher of Paul, stated that all the scriptures are summed up in loving others. The problem for the Jew and for us today is not that we should love, but who we should love. Jesus made it very clear that we don't get to pick and choose who we love. Every person was created by God, and just as God loves them, so should we. We are commanded to love all. Jesus goes on to say this is the royal law, which means it's the heart of God. In James chapter 2, verse 8, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. Here James is speaking about how we tend to favor one over another. And this goes directly against the love of God who favors no man or another. James is speaking of how we favor the rich over the poor, how we favor our own kind over others, how we look down on people based on their position in life or our presuppositions about them and how they contradict who we are in Christ. Clearly, when we show partiality toward anyone to the harm of the other, it goes directly against God's perfect royal law. James says our faith without love is false faith and has nothing to do with God. So the question we must ask was asked by the Jewish religious leaders over 2,000 years ago. Jesus, who is my neighbor? On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus' teacher. He asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, Jesus replied. How do you read it? The Jewish expert answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So to introduce this event in the Bible, let's first understand that the Jewish religious expert was asking Jesus this question to challenge him, embarrass him, or just argue against him. He was not seeking wisdom or answers. He was testing Jesus. You also must understand what he as a Jew was taught and thought about the passage of Scripture. For most Jews, a neighbor could only be another Jew. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, you have heard it, it says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. A Jew was taught from early on in life that was better than others and that it was okay to look down on and despise other people. That they would never consider a neighbor as defined as the Bible as a Samaritan. A poor Jew is intermarried with other people or a Gentile, people of another race or ethnicity. Altogether, what Jesus said here in Matthew 5 was actually taught by Jewish religious teachers in that day. Jews didn't just consider themselves better than others, they despised them. In John chapter 8, verse 48, the Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? The Jewish religious leaders ridiculed Jesus and called him many names. One of the worst things they could call him in their eyes was a Samaritan, and they connected it to him being demon-possessed. The Jews were God's chosen people, but they misunderstood thinking this to mean that God saw them as better than others, instead of what God has chosen them to be the instrument by which they could introduce all men to God. As God's chosen people, they were to be a blessing, not to hoard it all for themselves. The religious leader is asking what qualifies a person to be my neighbor. In John chapter 4, verse 9, a Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. The Jewish religious leaders of that day not only thought it was ridiculous that a non-Jew could be considered a neighbor, they also had determined that not even all Jews deserved to be considered a neighbor. The question of this Jewish leader is not how do I be a good neighbor, but who deserves the right for me to be a neighbor too. So upon asking that question, Jesus makes it very clear to him and to us what it means to love your neighbor. Speaking of this, as we are hearing so much about racism and racial reconciliation today, and to be honest, I have heard so many definitions from others, I thought I would like to prep this last section with one of the finest Bible definitions of racism, the kind of Jesus we talk about here for us to consider before I go any further. How do I love my neighbor as myself? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for the extra expense you may have. So Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 37, which of these 3 do you think it was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him, Jesus told him. So go and do likewise. Let me help you understand what is happening here. Jerusalem was on a mountaintop, 2,500 feet above sea level, and Jericho was 800 feet below sea level toward the eastern boundaries of Israel, the Jordan River. It was a 70-mile walk going east from Jerusalem to Jericho without much in between but sand, rocks, caves, etc. A dangerous place to walk by yourself because it was being a notorious place for robbers. The picture Jesus paints is that a Jewish man was attacked, beaten, and left for dead. 2 very religious people walked by him, one a priest and one a Levite. A person that worked in the temple and both passed by him. Then another man, a Samaritan, who was despised by the Jews, who was mistreated by the Jews, made fun of his half-priest. A second-class citizen walked by, stopped, checked to see if he was alive, put oil and wine in his cuts, put him on his donkey, took him to the nearest inn, gave him enough money to provide for up 2 months, and promised to come back and take care of the rest of the bill. Jesus said he was a true neighbor. Well, what would it take for us to be a neighbor like that Samaritan man? The first thing we must do is repent of any wrong feelings towards someone else. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance literally means to make a U-turn. Someone rightly said that to repent takes 2 steps to turn away from your sin or a simple behavior and turn toward God in right behavior. The Samaritan could have not loved the Jewish man enough if he had not released his feelings of anger and hurt towards the Jewish people. He had to have turned from that and chosen to turn toward what was right. The Bible word for repent means to repent is to turn from one's sin, to change one's mind, to turn one's life around. Repentance begins with recognizing there is a problem and turning it over to God. The Bible makes it truly clear that repentance is not just a change of heart, but an action also. The second thing we must do is to seek reconciliation with others. Matthew chapter 5, verse 24, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So reconciliation is an interesting word that is being used a lot today, many times incorrectly. Let me help you understand what the word means. The way the word is used so often today doesn't relate to reconciliation, but to retribution. That goes against the meaning of the word. Reconciliation literally means a change from an enemy to friendship. It's a mutual, i.e., it's a change wrought in both parties who have been an enemy toward one another. So true reconciliation is our willingness to make things right with someone, to love them and reach out to them as God loved and reached out to us. We didn't deserve it, we couldn't earn it, but it is out of God's love as he reconciled himself to us. The Bible says that through the cross, Jesus became the bridge that offers us reconciliation between man and God and man to man. It is interesting to note that William Tyndale, who translated the New Testament from the original Greek to English, could not find an English word that best suited the Greek word for reconciliation. So he coined one atonement, which literally means atone, or one meant beginning, becoming one with God, becoming one with others. So next we must consider how to respond properly to the needs of our neighbor. Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 and 36. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. So I understand that Jesus is talking here about the final judgment at the end times. Although our salvation is not dependent on what we do, the proof of our salvation is based on what we are toward others. So Jesus makes it truly clear here that how we treat others, how we love others, how we respond to the needs of others has a direct correlation to our salvation witness. And in fact, the early church was told to take care of those who could not take care of themselves. The widow, the orphan, the homeless, the hurting, those in poverty, those in need, justice. And we could go one. Jesus said, when we love the least of these, it is as if we are loving God. So let me ask you a question. Do you need to repent of your feelings toward anyone, a group of anyone, a different race, people, group, political party, denomination, all of us struggle with the issue in Christ? We don't have a right to show partiality become. He loved and forgave us just the way we are. So let's follow this example. Repent of any wrong feelings toward others. We are reconciled with God. And then with those who you have wrong feelings toward, reach out to those in need. Don't just talk about a difference, but be a difference. You might think, what can I do? Remember the story of the Lord was throwing the starfish in the ocean. A man walked up and said, you're wasting your time because for everyone you throw back in, seven more wash back on the beach. You're not making a difference. And then remember the little girl's answer as she picked up the starfish and threw it back in the water. I'm making a difference for this one. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, in all times you can, as long as you ever can. If you do this, you will prove the love of God in you, and we as Christians will have the answer. So many people are fighting, for protesting, for seeking after today. So let us pray. Amen. Lord God, dear Father in heaven, we thank you how often you rescue us from all fear and distress, Lord. How often you hear and answer us, Lord. Grant that our hearts may always be eager and joyful because you answer us, Lord. There is nothing else for us in the world, Lord. You are the one hope, our only hope, Lord. You alone can help our times, help the nations, help our each person, Lord. Nothing else matters to us. Lord God, for the rest of our life on earth, you alone are our help, our comfort, and our strength. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's get to the invitation. And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, you will get a chance to in just a moment. Well, let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this road and never knowing which way to go? Okay, are you lacking purpose in life? Are you suffering depression or anxiety? Are you suffering from something much worse, such as an addiction, alcohol, or drugs? Sexual immorality, gambling, overeating. Okay, you see, God can take that away, but if he don't know you, he can't do nothing for you. So if you want God to help you, you've got to be saved. And the best way to do that is to say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge you that I'm a sinner. And I am so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. And I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins. And I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the word of God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to His Word, right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I also thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to righteousness, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And once again, I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ? Please give us your name so we can pray for you. And you can do this by calling in area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live and you can tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you said this prayer, we want to say may the Lord bless you and may He always keep you highly favored. Amen. Okay. Well, anyway, well, we got a bunch of callers. Okay, we got a bunch of callers tonight. Let's see who we got. Let's start with 269.
Hello, this is Pastor Veal. How are you, Pastor Ken?
All right, how are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored, and I'm doing quite well. But I have to ask you something. Where did you get that sermon today? It was very lovely.
Well, thank you. I happen to write it.
You happened to write that sermon?
Yes.
So if I Googled the words that you had in the sermon right now, I would not find it on one of those, you know, quick pastor lookup sheets?
No.
No? And another question is, why is Tony Farrar suggesting that you didn't actually write that? Tony Farrar is saying, like, preachers steal from the Bible every Sunday, implying that you actually stole your word instead of thought it up yourself. You've got to be kidding me, Ken. Come on. You're a pastor. You can't lie like this. You can cite your sources. I'm giving you a chance.
Thank you very much, Pastor Beale. Goodbye. Okay. 111.
No.
111.
Hello. Kenny.
Hello, Pastor Ken.
How are you, my son?
I am blessed and highly favored. How about yourself?
I am blessed and highly favored as well, my son.
That's good to hear.
How is the COVID shot treating you, Kenny?
Good.
How many shots did you take, Kenny?
Two.
You told me which ones they were. But I forgot.
The Pfizer shot.
Have you received any blood clots, Kenny?
No, that was the Johnson & Johnson.
And women on top of that.
And women, yeah.
Did you not feel any blood clots then?
No.
When you took the COVID shot, was it administered anally or with the syringe?
Syringe.
On the shoulder.
in the shoulder.
Some people are getting it in the anus. Did you know that, Kenny?
No, I did not know that.
In Canada. That's how they do it in Canada, in the anus.
That's right. That is how they do it in Canada. Some of it rectally in the anus. Some of it in the shoulder. And the black girls are asking for it on the mouth through semen. From my penis.
Okay.
Kenny, what do you think? It works.
Well,
Kenny,
to tell you the truth, I just don't know.
Well, you know, the Russian vaccine, that one works too. And they have a Russian Pfizer shot. But I must warn you, Kenny, it's going to make you gayer.
Okay, all right.
Take another caller, Kenny.
Okay, I will. Okay, hold on.
Yes, please.
Okay. 7x7.
Sorry, I think I dozed off there for a little bit. How's the show been going with the new ownership?
There ain't no new ownership.
That's not what I heard.
Well, you heard wrong.
No.
Yeah.
Lying again. You know what happens to people who lie.
I'm not lying.
Move on to
goodbye.
She is so
okay,
good.
510. You're on the air.
Hello, Ken.
Hello, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing all right.
Hey, it's Tommy Monahan. I got a situation. Tony Farrar owes me about 20.
Okay. Well, evidently he doesn't know you anything because he just kicked you off. Okay. Anyway, 111.
Hello, Ken. Can we get a proof that, what's today? What's the date today?
420.
Ha! What year?
2021.
Huh. Crap. You got me. Can we please have a prayer for the officer in Minnesota who was just found guilty of murder? Can we have a prayer for him and his family? We're going to have to endure life without him while he goes to jail. Can we get a prayer for him, please?
Well, he's been prayed for.
By whom?
Oh, by his family, I'm sure.
Okay, so you won't join in? You won't offer prayer for them?
No.
What a
okay.
Pastor.
I'm praying for everyone that's been affected all across the country by that.
What about that sermon that you claimed that you wrote earlier, but at the same time, Tony was in the chat saying, pastors steal sermons all the time.
Was
that verse 15? Hello?
Yeah, that's verse 15. That's That's verse 15 that I quote. Okay? If you take the book.
Yeah. And that's fine. But you just need to tell people the name and, like, give a link to it. I was in the chat asking for it because you could not be understood. It sounded like the phone was up your arsehole. You're all muddled, and it sounded like you had...
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay, 111.
Hello? I have a prayer request, please.
Okay.
It's for my friend Tabitha. So Tabitha recently has been going through some family issues. Her dad owns a...
Hello, Kitty. Why are these
okay,
colors?
Okay, goodbye.
Kenny!
Can we get the logo updated on the website for the new owner? Kent takes over. God's ready.
111.
Why'd you hang up on that prayer request earlier? There didn't seem anything wrong with that.
111.
Can we cite the sermon next time? Give a link.
Yeah. 111.
Orale, Kenny, you fuck me in the ass. This is Dominguez, motherfucker.
Hey, I got a call from Rosemary earlier, and she says you're a fucking fraud.
Okay.
111. I have a question about the orphans in Uganda.
111.
This is the real Tony F. I fuck Kenny in the ass.
This is getting ridiculous.
Wow, and they just keep coming. What's going on this evening? It's like they're desperately trying to get on this show.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm going to play some music.
We must come back, though.
Thank you. Sometimes you gotta break away, you gotta be true. Grab a hold of what's ahead, never look to the rear view. The day's pressed on and you have no clue, but you long to stand firm when the sky is blue. Yeah, everybody's gone, what remains is you. All alone in the blackness, the shadow in the room. Trapped in a jail built by your own two. And all that matters most now is what you do. From this moment on, you understand that.
Some more callers here. Okay. Are you ready, Tony? 111.
So what's the point of taking callers if you're just going to have Tony Farrar in the background, like, nudging you whenever there's a bad caller and to get them off and to not answer tough questions like a pastor should?
There's not been any tough questions asked. It's just been...
Here's a tough question. Why are you still technically married to Rosemary? Why haven't you sought out a divorce?
Goodbye.
Things that are nobody's business.
Yeah. 111.
Kenny, why are you hanging up on me?
Let's see.
Well... because you're bringing nothing to the table?
How am I not bringing anything to the table, Kenny? I have a good pastor. I bring lots and lots of wonderful sermons to my flock. Why?
Well, go preach to your flock.
Why?
Yeah, amen. God bless.
Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise the Lord in your show.
111.
Oh, it's Ashley again.
Yeah.
She's very active this evening.
111. Hello?
I think they're being very, very silent.
Yeah, me too. Okay. All right. 111.
You a fraud, nigga. Fraud!
Goodbye. 111.
What does Proverbs 15:15 through 23 mean to you, Pastor?
Excuse me?
What does Proverbs 15:15 through 23 to you mean, Pastor? I'm curious. I've been reading the Bible and I've been stuck on this one recently, and I'm curious as to what it means to you in your life. I can read it for you if you don't have a Bible handy.
Go ahead and read it. I'll go ahead and read it.
Be faithful to your own wife and give your love to her alone. So are you doing that by still being married to Rosemary and also...
Lord, see what I mean? Just silliness,
silliness. Yeah. 111.
I munged Sylvia Fiorovia. I munged her.
Okay, well, that's it for callers. Thank you. God bless you. Okay. Okay, well. Okay, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. God bless you. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to run. Yeah,
is the
run.
Show over?
Yeah, the show's over. Okay. God bless you all. Have a great evening.
See you on Thursday.
See you on Thursday. Bye bye all.
Rage quit. That's funny.